Welcome and thank you for listening to our Sunday broadcast. Join us as we receive from the incorruptible seed of the Word of God today from Pastor Robert Jackson of Word of Faith Worship Center in Concord, North Carolina.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. Yes, Jesus. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Yes, Jesus. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Yeah. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. You.
coming after us, chasing us down. Thank you, Jesus. Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I always like to say, surely in goodness and mercy, you're chasing me. They're following me. Well, turn around. Turn around. Let them catch you. Turn around. Turn around and see Jesus. John had that. John had that revelation. I heard beside me a voice of many waters. He heard the voice of many waters. And what did he do? He just kept hearing the voice. No, he turned around. And when he turned around, he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus. When you turn around from this world system, turn around, Jesus is right there. He's right there, outstretched arm. Come unto me, all ye are heavy laden. Come unto me, he said, and I will give you rest. I didn't used to have rest. I was restless. I was restless. I was wrestling with all the thoughts that, man, I'd be better off out of this place. This world don't need me, but something greater said, I created you. I formed you. Before you were even in your mama's womb, I knew you, God said. Now, I didn't know that. I'm telling you now, that word, God was chasing me down. All I needed was to hear a good word about God, a good faith word. Somebody giving me hope that there's power in the name of Jesus.
You know, Pastor, you said, say yes to Jesus.
Yes.
Because he's already said yes to us.
That's right. Amen. That say yes, Wayne, I guess he needs to hear, y'all need to hear this, that say yes to Jesus. When it's spoken, it goes off like a PA system on the inside of me. Because when me and my wife got born again, and one of our first or second trips, we went to the beach. we were in pretty bad shape financially, but you know them little condo things you can sign up for. You can have a meal, and they'll take you out. You know, you give you 3 days, 2 nights, however many days it was, and they feed you. But they want to get you suckered into that monthly or yearly payment, whatever. But I thank you, Jesus. Sometimes you just can't talk. I used to not be able to say no. If you called me on the phone wanting something, I'd eventually say yes. This is before I knew Jesus. And it usually cost my wife something. You know? Yes, we can do that. Yes, we can help you do that. Yes, yes, yes. But when I got born again, I learned to say no. Let me check my wife. No. No is an anointed word sometimes. No. God didn't say go there. No. So we got this invitation. We did this thing because we needed a vacation. But I knew when we get down there, I knew we're going to have to go through this portfolio for hours. But we're going to say, no, thank you. We're enjoying our vacation. And that's what we did. And when we got up on that 10th, 11th, 12th, 15th story, it was nice, Wayne. Now, my place in the morning, you got to understand, without these glasses, ask my kids because they wear them. You're a blurry man, Wayne. And I'm believing for my healing, don't get me wrong. But that, I was really believing for seeing to be manifested, Bob Cohan, that week. So I drove all the way to the beach without my glasses on. Asked my wife, she was wide awake. Making sure we were driving at night when the moon was out. Sometimes I like to turn the lights off when it's a full moon and just you can see the reflection driving that on Highway 9 or whatever road we was on. She's like, turn them lights back on. But you know, the man, the kid that's on the inside of you, just won't do those things. Took my glasses off. She's believing, agreeing with me. Blurry drive, blurry, but you know, we made it safely there. And we have these, these people that sell the produce on the side of the roads. These homegrown tomatoes and cantaloupes, one of these little places. Well, the next day, or I forget when it was, that's two stories. I'll tell you two stories. So when she went in there shopping, and I got my glasses off, so I'm just do like men usually do. We just looking with no rhyme or reason. We just looking. Don't ask me what I'm looking for because you get some kind of weird answer. I'm just with her. I'm looking. Because I can't see things. I can't read things. Why should I? I'm just looking. I'm looking like I'm healed is what I'm doing. I'm walking by faith, believing I can see. And if Kelsey, will you run upstairs and get that? It's actually down here. You know what I'm talking about? That little plaque. I think it's down here in this office. At the time, I was, shut this computer down. We ain't even going to be in that thing today. At the time, I was visiting Faith Covenant Church on Wednesday nights. We were visiting. We the children go with us back then. They were little. They had nursery. Yeah, Wednesday nights. So we taking the whole family. Man preaching. He was on the radio, 94-point-something FM. Him and Bob Cohan were preaching the word. And I said, we got to go there. We got to listen because, man, that's ministering life to me. You know, there's places you're supposed to be and there's places you're not supposed to be. So as we were shopping in that store, my wife was looking at all kind of things. I still can't half see this thing to you. I guess I need to do it the way I did it back then. Oh, yeah, I can see Jesus. Can you see Jesus? I didn't have my glasses on, but I can see Jesus. That caught my attention. And I said, I got to have that thing. And I got it. Amen. What do you want? Reach out and grab it. I have to put these back on right now. Now would be a good time, Jesus, to just Holy Ghost, make my manifestation. Bring it on. Amen. It ain't there yet, so you'll see me. I'll put my glasses back on. But that don't make me no less of a faith man. Amen. Because it's what's coming out of here, not what's out here. This ain't me. What you're seeing out here, this ain't me. The real me is on the inside, and this is what I'm demonstrating today. I saw that, and I said, that's my man. I don't even know how much it cost. But when we came back to Faith Covenant, I think I gave a testimony, and there were some of these in your church. Some people testified, and I gave my testimony about my glasses, and I believe in God, and I went down there, and I couldn't see, but I saw Jesus. And I said, I believe I'll take that. So then we went back. That's Jesus. Say yes to Jesus. So then we went back to the motel room. And the next morning or the morning after, my wife could probably tell this story better. She brings in the details. Well, don't bring in all the details. So I was in my room the next morning early. That would be the bathroom. That's what a lot of people, I heard from God there. You know, I heard people hear from God when they're taking a shower. I was in the bathroom reading down the book of Proverbs. My son, attend to my word. Because I spent a lot of time in the book of Proverbs because my dad, I never had a relationship with my dad because mom and dad divorced. You know, dad just didn't know Jesus when he was, and he was a bad dad. Amen, he was a bad dad. So God had to reestablish a relationship with me. Mom was a single mom. And every time I would be in the book of Proverbs and when it say, my son, building that relationship, my son. So my wife said, Robert, where are you at? I said, I'm in here reading the word. She goes, well, you need to come out here quickly. I said, but I'm in the book. I'm reading, you know. I'm studying. Oh, no, you need to come. You want to tell us the end of this story? You could probably add to a lot of life to this. You want to tell? Got to come up? Okay, no, go ahead. So as I walk out, she says, no, you need to come up here to the banister. We're about 10, 15 stories up, Wayne. And she said, somebody just stopped by, and you need to see this. And as I walked over there, I didn't have my glasses on. Hadn't put them on yet. Somebody stopped, Wayne, and in the sand wrote, say yes. And they just didn't say to Jesus. They said to Jesus. I could see it, Wayne. I didn't have glasses on, but I could see it. And right then at that moment, there's moments in time where God will just bless you because he'll show you signs. But we don't walk by signs, we walk by faith. That small, still voice, but that morning, it was written in the sand of time. That person was moved. Somehow, God spoke to that person. Some people just do things like that. No, people moved by God, inspired by God, wrote this book that we read out of. But not everybody will see that. Not everybody will hear that. But if you'll just put some faith, mix your faith with God's word, he'll write it in the skies if he has to. And you might be the only one that ever sees it. But that's a part of our ministry. That established, I'm supposed to help people to say yes to Jesus. It ain't about me, but it was for me to establish God's foundation in me. No matter what stands before me, God stands with me. No matter what stands before you, God stands with you. He loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally. Amen. So our ministry now, you know, Jim would always start your radio station or end your radio station with, come up here, Jim, how would you say that? Yeah. How would you end your radio station? There's a certain way you would say it, though, right? He would always end. See, God gave him that scripture to end with. And things won't be a problem. Amen. So to say yes to Jesus, sometimes you'll see me if I do an email or if I maybe write something, I'll put down there, say yes to Jesus. If you seek him second. If you seek him first. Seek him second, that ain't good, is it? It can't be as good. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the things. And that's what he would say, all these things, the things won't be a problem. So I thought the name of our ministry would be, when I talk about ministry, now God's called me here to pastor this church, but he's also called me to teach, to go out and teach God's people faith. And I thought it would be, we'll be Say Yes to Jesus Ministry. That, you know, now I've just been praying. But really, it's Robert Jackson Ministry. And the mission is like God told Paul, arise. This is in the book. I have to look it up. Arise, stand upon your feet in the book of Acts. For this purpose I have called you to be a minister, to turn people from darkness, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's the mission. To go teach people faith and turn them from darkness into light. To say yes to Jesus. That's it. Simple. Say yes to Jesus. Each one of you, each one of us has a divine purpose God has called us to do. Down here on the earth. And he's placed everything that we need to get it done. And it's in people. It's in places. It's in your employment. It's in your employer. They might not know it yet. They might not know it. Amen? They might be awful to you. They just don't know you yet. They don't know. See, you got to show them Jesus. You got to show them God in the earth. See, it's not about me. It's about Christ in me, the hope of glory. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Forget the me, follow Christ. Amen. This is my story, I can tell you, but you've all got stories. And if you continue on with Jesus, it gets brighter and better. There's so much to gain. And there's a scripture, Wayne, as I was thinking about this morning, talking about that gain. It'll come back to me. I didn't pull it up. So we're going to briefly get into part 3 of our series. Are y'all ready? Say yes. Gotta say yes. 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 Say yes. Say yes. Thank you, Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. I didn't know I was called to be a preacher, to preach the gospel, but God did. A lot of times you might look at yourself and be saying, what am I doing here, Lord, like Elijah? Actually, the Lord said, Lord, Elijah, what are you doing here? I didn't call you to be shut up in a cave. God didn't call his church to be locked down at home. Come on. When Elijah ran for fear from a woman that was full of the devil, God said, what are you doing here? He just won a great battle, Elijah, 2 Kings. Just defeated all the prophets of Baal, slew them, slaughtered them. Why? Because they were possessed of the devil. They were evil. Now, this is the old covenant now. Thank God we got grace. We don't go out and kill people. We love people. We kill them with our words. In other words, we kill the devil with our words of love to people. We love people. Full of the devil. Some of them don't know they're full of the devil. I was one of them. I wouldn't say I was quite full. I was just pretty much possessed a lot. Amen. I was doing stuff ignorantly. Paul said he was doing things ignorantly. But God still loves you, ignorant person. He loved me. Amen. He loves you unconditionally. I was taught some wrong things. I caught some bad things. Amen. I was in places I shouldn't have been, with people I shouldn't have been with, but God was right there waiting for me to turn around. All I had to do, all it takes is just one, Jim could verify this, being on a ship, a Navy ship. If you want to get somewhere, that's a big old ship. But all you got to do is turn that rudder It'll take it a while, but it's going to turn. That big old ship will turn. I don't care how far you've been, messed up. All you got to do is turn to Jesus. All it takes is just a turn. And he's going to flood you with his grace, flood you with his mercy. He's been trying to get it to you. He was trying to get it to me for many, many years. But I kept ignoring that voice and making a choice. See, every choice you make, you give. It's your choice. But God says, choose life. Choose life. Amen. I heard a lot. I wasn't supposed to be here. I'm number 5 of the Jackson. I'm the 5th. I'm the baby. I'm a big baby now, Reed. 54 years old. But I can remember the devil through my daddy saying, you know, he wasn't even supposed to be here. I was an accident, Wayne. That's what I was called, an accident. Well, God said, you're not an accident. He said, like you told Gideon, you're a mighty man of God. Because, man, people don't determine my destiny. God does. I can remember that in my mind, but you know what? I choose not to now. Amen. You got to make a choice. What has God said about you? God says you can do all things through Christ who loved you and died for you and provided every good thing. And he put it in you. Christ is in you. That means you're good, not by what you do, but by who you chose to live on the inside of you, Christ Jesus, King of kings. Amen. So don't be deceived. Don't let the devil deceive you with those words. See, I could go back and I could think on that word. I'm just an accident. And the devil would paint a big picture of all kind of things, destruction he wants to do. But see, you got to change the image on the inside of you. You determine. I was thinking as we was worshiping, just how the church, as we start coming together and find our place, when one sinner comes home, whole heaven rejoices. Why? There's a big painting that God's got in heaven. I just see this spiritually. There's a big painting. Remember, you buy these puzzles and you put them together, and there's so many pieces of the puzzle, but you got to put all the pieces together. Well, God's waiting. He's putting, man, when somebody comes home, man, there's another piece of the puzzle. Another piece of that beautiful picture in heaven that he's painted, and he's waiting. He's got it in his, I don't know how God's got a big place. Man, there's a big picture, a big mural, if you want to see it spiritually. And I was a piece that came in. I might have been in the center or half. It don't matter. But God said, I got him. We got him. And this, I'm super glued. Man, I'm super glued. You see people, they'll do these pictures, and then they'll spray them, and they'll put them in a frame. Well, God determines when the end is, when there's no more. And, you know, the picture's going to not be quite complete, because there's going to be a lot of people that chose not to, but God's going to have to change. He's going to have to squeeze it together. The ones that didn't come in, you know. There's going to be a time when there's going to be time no more. Tammy was talking about, we're in the end times. The devil wants you to think, oh, you're going to live. You got plenty of. No, you don't. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day of salvation. Don't think you got all these things and you keep putting God second or third or fourth. He's got to be. He says, I'm a jealous God. I have no other gods before me. No other gods before me. Amen? Because when you do, you'd be like Pharaoh, all those gods of Egypt. Your heart keeps getting hardened. If you keep things before God, your heart gets desensitized. And when you do, you're doing something wrong, you know it's wrong, but you keep rejecting God's voice, your heart gets hard, and you get to where you just don't care anymore. And that's the devil's deception, that you do need to care to do what's right. Amen? Because you're going to affect somebody else's life. There's people watching you. Amen? So we're going to pick up very briefly here on our series. If you missed part one, part two, I haven't got them on audio, but you can do a search on Word of Faith, Robert Jackson, YouTube. We got a YouTube channel. I haven't got it linked to our website yet, but I've been putting everything online, our videos. You can catch it, and I'll eventually get caught up on the audio. But guarding against deception is what we've been talking about. Genesis 3:13 says, Yahweh God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled, King James says, the World English Bible says, the serpent deceived me and I ate. That's not the end of the story. If the devil deceived you and you did something wrong, that's not the end of the story. Repent. That's a good word. Repent means to change. Lord, I messed up. Repent, just turn. That means to turn. Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up. And he says, God still loves you. So in the last days, the Bible says many will be deceived. Many. This is what the Bible says. I'm not preaching doubt. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Many will be deceived, but you got to choose. I'm not going to be one of those many that's going to be deceived. I'm going to be the one that, here I am, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Remember Samuel, when he was getting ready to be called from God, he'd been with the prophet. He'd been with Eli, and it came. Need to read this. It's in your Bible. Samuel was a mighty, mighty prophet of God. He spoke for King David and Saul, and he was learning to hear the voice of God. There comes that point to where you know God's voice. You know that voice. But God loves you so much, he's not going to make you do anything, but he's going to speak to you. And sometimes it'll be like coming out of a PA system. One of the other things God told us, go teach my people faith. I heard about that loud in my home. Go teach my people faith. So where did I go? Faith covenant. Amen. Got under Jim Howard and learned about faith. He had a lot more years in it than I did. He's got a lot more years. He's still ahead of me, amen, but I'm after him. I'm chasing him. I'm like Elisha. No, if you're going up, I'm going to be there when you go up. I might go up with you or send me what you got. But he stayed with the man of God because he knew he got the words of life. They told that to Jesus. The disciples, Jesus said, are you going to leave me too? You got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, Jesus said. People left the ministry. People quit following. Man, he's talking about, man, we got to drink his blood and eat his flesh. But see, Jesus was speaking spiritually, but they were looking for something natural, and they couldn't understand it. But the disciples said, Jesus said, you going to leave me too? Somebody had the right answer that day. They said, no, Lord, you have the words of life. Thank God somebody was hearing Jesus. Amen. We have words of life we're releasing here. Don't be deceived. Jesus is the good shepherd. So throughout the scriptures, we're warned against the dangers of deception, not only in the end times, but also in our day-to-day, daily lives. So last couple of weeks, we had an introduction. We talked about just the definition of deception. And briefly today, I'm going to talk about number two, prepare ahead of time. You know, you got prepared. I was thinking last night what I was going to wear today until I stood before the mirror. Well, I really didn't have to stand before the mirror. I got to like the third button. And I said, this just don't feel right. And I asked my wife, and she agreed. The shirt I had on, Larry, it was tighter, but it was still an XX large. But I think I must have been in the boys department or something, Tammy. You might have to help me out on that. I might have got it at JCPenney. I don't know. But it didn't fit me like this one. This one, I said, it's like Lazarus, loose him and let him go. I felt loose. I said, that's it. That's the one I'm supposed to wear. So what I was prepared to do, I had to change a little bit. So don't be deceived. What you bought at the store might not fit when you get home. See, I was deceived, Wayne. Extra, extra large didn't fit me like it's supposed to. Somebody didn't read the instructions when they were sewing and putting this thing together, Colette. I think they made it a size too small. I've been deceived. It was on the tag, but I've been deceived. I was asking for another example this morning, and God just gave it to me. I'm wearing it. Amen. This is the right one. Oh, I love that song, that old song, Two Coats. One stood before me, two coats. See, I used to be an old man, old sinner, but then I got saved by grace. I took off that old coat, and I put on the new, that old song. I love that song. I took off the old coat and put on the new. I put on Christ Jesus. He made all things new. It's an old song, but it's a good song. I like that song. I took off the old coat and put on the new. It's kind of a country twang to it, Wayne. Take off your old coat. Put on the new, amen? Don't be deceived, that old coat. I know you've had it for a long time, and it just kind of feels good, but if it's the old man, let it go. See, the Bible talks about sin is pleasurable for a season. No, you don't want to go to that season. Amen. Let it loose. Grab on to God. He never lets you go. He never brings a bad season in your life. Amen. He never seasons you bad. He seasons you good. Amen. So, prepare ahead of time. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm not there. That's why I had the computer open, but let's go to the old time religion. What'd I say, 1 Peter? Well, I'm glad y'all were listening. Amen. Praise the Lord. What? It was homework. Okay, well, praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Man, I'm getting revelation. These lighter shirts, I'm getting a little cool in here myself. Y'all might get blessed. I might turn the air conditioning up a little bit. Wow, this silky shirt making me a little cool up here. I think somebody's getting some answer prayer out there. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're getting ready to change seasons here for a long. We're getting ready to go to fall. I love that time of year, spring and fall. Is this all right? 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now hang on. Where'd it go? There it went. I knew it wasn't a big chapter. We're going to read this whole chapter. Y'all ready? Now the Spirit, and that's Holy Spirit, He's in you, expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. This is Word of Faith Worship Center. You will never come to this church and not hear about faith. Can I get an amen? Amen. Faith will not depart from this church until you depart. Amen. Until we depart, and we're going to go together in the rapture. Amen. Say, I'm going in the rapture when God says, come up hither. I'm going up thither. Whatever that word means. Sounded good. The Holy Ghost says in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Well, if you leave faith, where are you going? You're going to foolishness. They're going to leave the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy. In other words, saying something they ain't doing anyway. That's a hypocrite. Having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. See, they've quit listening to God so much that they don't even know. Their conscience has been seared, because you walk away from light, tell me where you go. Dark. Things get dark. And there is a ruler of darkness, and his name is Satan. And he does not love you. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. That is his purpose. Now, God didn't create him that way. He became that way. Because he hates God. And if he hates God, he hates you. But Jesus loves you. And ain't nothing he can do about that. Amen? The devil can't stop you. The devil can't stop you. Amen? He's a created being. He's not the creator. Talking about the devil. He can't create nothing. All he can do is take things and twist it. Anybody like licorice? I got one hand up there. I don't like it either, but you know what? You know why I don't like it? Because it's twisted candy. I ain't never thought about it, but that's what it is. It's just twisted candy. And if you like licorice, that's fine. If you like, that's fine. You understand, but it's twisted. The devil takes the word and he twists it. He'll twist it to make it say something that it never said. Has God said? That's when you need to say, no, he hadn't. Because you need to know, you come to this church, you're going to know what God says. And if you'll say what God says, you'll have what God has. What does God have? Life and that everlasting. Amen. This life is just a drop in the bucket. But there is, to those that don't receive Christ, don't receive God, there is life. Life separated from God. In other words, you're going to live forever somewhere. That's a deception. There's a deceiving spirit out there that thinks that when you die, that's just the end. You're just no more. That is a lie. You will live because you are an eternal spirit. God is spirit, and he created us. We are a spirit being, and whether we receive him, if we don't receive him, we will live forever separated from him in a place called hell, where the fire burns and the worm never dies. Torment. You don't want to be there. God never created that place for you. He created it for the devil. We just got captured. Amen. We were captured. But Jesus set me free. Jesus set me free. I didn't have to know all this book. I just had to know Jesus. I came to Jesus and I got set free. And then little by little, when you stay in the book, you get freer. Okay, if Pastor Jack was here, he took counseling. He'll tell you there's a lot of things we're still bound from that as long as we stay in the Word, we can get free from. I'm talking about in your mind, not in your spirit. Once you get born again, you are sealed. You're as Jesus is. But your mind, things you were brought up around, familiar spirits, demons, all these different things, they're familiar spirits. They got into your mind if you didn't have somebody guarding, help to guard your mind from deception. They get in there. They're called attitudes. And all these little things, they're demonic spirits. Now, I'm not saying they've possessed you, but they're hanging around. They vex you like Lot. Remember the little cartoons we see? You have the devil on this side and the angel on this side. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's kind of deception. Those little voices speaking. Well, the Holy Ghost ain't on your shoulder. He's in your spirit. Amen. And he don't leave. See, this is kind of like, you know, that voice is on the inside. Once you get born again, God never leaves you. But you can shut him down. You can shut him down to where he'll just be quiet. Holy Ghost, just be quiet until you start speaking the words of faith. And then he starts coming. Holy Ghost starts moving. That's what happened in the beginning. God said, until God said anything, Holy Ghost just fluttering. I can't do it like some people do. I can't do it. I can't get my mouth to move like that. He was brooding. He was fluttering. Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. He was brooding until God said, light. And the Holy Ghost, he didn't know what light was till God said it. Amen. He is God. The Holy Ghost is God, but he's not the Father. He's the third person of the Godhead Trinity. The Holy Ghost, he's a spirit being. And when God's word comes, man, he moves. He moves. He creates, makes old things new. Heart, be whole. Valves, be whole. Amen. The Holy Ghost is listening to you. See, I'm saying that, but my heart's okay. But if your heart's not okay, you receive that word. And you say, that's for me. I take it by faith. It becomes your word. See, this is God's word coming out of me, but you got to take it. Take out order. You want to take out or you want to go dine in? Come and dine with the master anytime. Come on now. I'm hearing scriptures. Y'all just ain't seeing it yet. You want to take out or you want to dine in? I'm tired of driving through. Come on. I'm tired of drive-through Christianity. I want to go sit in where it is coming hot off the plate, hot off the oven, bread from heaven. Manna from heaven. That's what I want. That's what I want every morning. This is what I want when I come to church. I want a coal off the fire. Come on. I want that coal off the altar, that hot burning fire that's for me. This is where it's at. It's in you. When we come together, we got a lot of fires in here. We got a lot of things. God's got a lot of things he wants to say. Amen. He wants to move. He's not a God that stands still. He's moving. He's moving and he's working in his people. Amen. And when we come together, God gets bigger down here on this earth. Amen. He's an army marching forward. A lot of the army has been called to retreat, but not this church. We called to march. Go forward. Go to that promised land. Joshua, get up. Moses is dead. You might have been following a pastor and he's on to heaven now. But God says, now you get up. My servant Moses is dead down here, but he's with me. Now you get up. Carry on the vision, Joshua. Catch the vision, Joshua. Sometime a vision has to be caught. I caught a vision of faith, man. It was preaching on my radio station. I never seen Jim Howard. Man, to see him, he got a little funny walk. We all got little funny things. Unless I can't do that walk he got, but he's all got a walk. We see things in other people. He walks, see the gym, he walks normal. But he's got that walk. But he can back it up with his talk. Amen. Moses said he had an impediment problem. He was lying, wasn't he? It wasn't the truth. He was just scared, man. He didn't want to go tell people to. He didn't want to go stand before Pharaoh and say, let my people go. But God said, I see you, Moses. I know you. See, God knows you. He knows what you're capable of. Not in yourself, but in him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Don't be deceived. We're not going to be deceived. We're not going to get too far today in these notes. Because there's just too much going on this morning. Y'all just brought too much to church. I tell you, more people come, less notes are going to be taught. We're going to go with the Holy Ghost. Because thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want that coal from heaven. Hallelujah. See, I turn into a different person when I come up here. I put on a different hat. My wife could probably tell you the same. When you come up here, you turn into the preacher. And then after, because sometimes you come talk to me right after service about natural things, it's going to be hard for me to, it takes me a little while to come down. Because I'm talking spiritual things now that I'm speaking for God for you. But then when I leave here, I turn into the husband and to the father. And then, sadly, I turn into the GE man on Monday morning. Terry gave me a vision. He's not here. It's like God, GE, he turned it into a God something. And you got to take God into your establishment too. But my desire has left that place. You know, when your desire goes, this is pretty much a place. Because God's put his desires in my heart. To do greater things, to be a bigger influence. He said it through Greg Moore, that your voice, not my voice, but God's voice through me would be a bigger influence to the world, through radio, through TV. See, I got to see that little iPhone right there. That is a high-def camera. Amen. Now, Jesse DePlantis, he could tell you about how expensive. Now, I'm not putting a price on it, but I got to see that little thing to be a bigger thing. But see, start with the little. Be thankful for the little things, but be expecting the greater things. Amen? Because the word Jesse has, and we are partners with Jesse to plant his ministry. You know when you give, 10% of what you give goes to other partners, right? That means you are sowed into that partnership. And if you'll believe and receive it, the he has an increase. How does he say that? The blessing of increase is upon his ministry. He came from nothing and became something in God. And he'll tell you flat. It ain't about him. It's about Christ in him. And he's got a lot of cameras. It costs a lot of money. But he didn't start there. If you follow Jesse any, he started driving a Toyota, going around teaching faith, and didn't have the money to put gas in the car. And a lot of the churches wasn't paying him enough to put money to put gas in the car. And that's where one of them, he had a 1 or 2 week revival, and they paid him with a Dr. Pepper. Sent him with a Dr. Pepper. Wayne, that's what they paid the man. Gave him a Dr. Pepper. Didn't even give him fries. And went to a gas station. Now, Jesse, you can pull him up and listen to him. Went to the gas station not knowing how he's going to put gas in his car. And used a heathen. Used somebody that wasn't even saved that saw something. And when Jesse told him where he'd been in that church, he said, I know that church. You need some gas in your car, preacher? He says, they won't give you nothing at that church. Here's a sinner that knew that church wasn't Christ. And this sinner filled up his car with gas. The man that just had a 2 week revival. People got saved, and the church didn't even gave him a Dr. Pepper. They were a little bit of prophesying. Just take off the pepper. They were actually blessing the doctor. He is Dr. Jesse DePlantis now. See, God saw the doctor. Amen. And Jesse, because Jesse said, "That's okay. I'll just fast and pray the rest of the week." You know, he said, "I lost weight that week." Because, see, he kept God first. And that Dr. Pepper, we've been to his place. That's how Jesse came here. It was a divine connection. We got to go into his office, and he has that Dr. Pepper in his showroom case. He never opened it. And I looked at him. I said, Jesse, you know what? That thing, people collect Dr. Pepper. That thing probably worth pretty good money. It's been in the 1960s. But he said, now he'll sit in that case. So there's somebody that just persisted to know that I'm greater than this Dr. Pepper. See, the Bible says the workman is worthy of his hire. Somebody didn't hear God that night. Amen. They didn't bless the man of God that night. But you know what? He still got blessed. Somebody else blessed him. So, see, God's got more channels for you to get blessed than one place. Don't look to one place. Don't look to a person. God is your source. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We got to prepare ahead of time so we won't be deceived. You prepared to get ready to come to church today? I prepared, but you know what? I didn't prepare for this. I just prepared for God. You prepared, and we brought it in today. God's moving. He's speaking. He's talking. He's touching your body right now. If you'll let him. I said, if you'll let him. If you'll let him. And then you let him touch you, and he'll tell people, touch my anointing. In other words, God takes it personal. When you give your life to Jesus, he don't want bad people messing with you. And he'll do what he got to do, amen, to keep them away from you. See, I remember when I got saved, man, all my rowdy friends, remember I used to sing the Hank Williams song, all my rowdy friends have settled down. I used to sing them songs. I don't sing them songs no more. When I turn them on, I hear them sometimes, but I'm like, I just can't sing that song no more. I was a rowdy man. Thank God for a good woman. I did settle down, but I settled down without Christ there at the beginning. But God come in and done a 360 in my life. But I lost my friends, a lot of my friends, that my natural friends, but I had to make a decision. God, you are my friend. They couldn't save me like you did that day at church. They couldn't deliver me from those demonic spirits that night. I experienced your power. Nobody can do me like Jesus. And I had to make a decision. Even my best friend, my drinking buddy I had at the time. And when I say drinking buddy, we get together and we went to school together and went through problems together. And we play video games and drink. You know, we wouldn't go out and drive and drunk. Well, we were sometimes driving. But we were buddies. We just didn't have Jesus in the center of it. So I had to separate from him. Because now Jesus was my centerpiece. But I loved my buddy. I prayed for him. I said, Lord, touch him. Lord, I pray for him. And I didn't just separate from him, but I separated to God. He was more important. God was more important now than my buddy. I put my buddy above my wife. I mean, that was wrong. I'd probably put my dog before my wife back then. Hey, man, I didn't have a dog. I had a few dogs. I was a dog. If you put anything before God, you're just a dog. He wants you. Turn the dog around, it spells God. Amen. You turn to God, man, your dog will come home. Your wife will come home. Country songs, if you play them backwards, everybody comes home. Because they're all country songs, a lot of them just talking about lost. But there's some good gospel country singers out there that still got a little country. I'm not talking about, you understand what I'm saying? I was singing all the wrong songs, looking for love in all those wrong places. And I was being deceived. This ain't where you find love. It ain't where you find love. Found me. Love came to me. Amen. Jesus came to me. He never left. But when I turned, I experienced him. A lot of people are looking for the supernatural, the spectacular, and they're missing the supernatural encounter with God is just letting him love you. Just taking some time and just being still. Cutting everything off and just loving God. Telling him how much you love him. Amen? But we're being deceived. We're being deceived with all these other voices that say, I am God. That's what we talked about. There's going to be a lot of false Christs. I am the Christ. Don't you go over there. Don't you go looking over there. Christ is in you. He's not a play. He's not somebody out here saying, he's in you. Don't be deceived. There's going to be many false prophets arise. Gold dust and all these manifestations of the things in the spirit, these physical things. If you're looking for God in the physical, you're being deceived. Because I don't need a sign to know that God is God. Amen. I don't need this sign. He gave me Jesus. He gave me the Holy Spirit. Now, signs are good to have, but you're not following that sign. Amen. You follow Jesus. You follow his word. And when the word's ministered, he's going to manifest. He's going to show off. Amen? He's going to do what you're believing. See, we teach the word and preach the word, and we're supposed to demonstrate the word. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. If he said, I'm your healer, I'm there to heal you. He's already healed you. He's delivered you. He's saved you. Already, past tense. Thank you, Jesus. Come back next week and we might get into part 3. It depends on what Tammy sings, what Wayne plays, and what you do. It depends on how many people come to church next week. Amen. I just show up and say, God, have your way. Have your way, Lord Jesus. I guess we might need to extend our services. We might have to change the signs and print some bulletins. Service begins in 10 and ends. Just stop right there. It ends. No time. See, Angel Riviera out there, he's prophesied. He's done prophesied. He said, quit looking at the clock, Pastor. The clock is your enemy. The clock. If you put God on a clock, God, I gave you an hour this morning. You ain't showed up yet. You can't put God on a time. He knows no time. Amen. But you gave him some time today. You know, I believe in God. You know, I believe our car is paid for. Another car paid for, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Another one down. Now, the next one, I got to believe, we don't need a loan. We just need to go buy it. amen, or just believe for. Don't, you know, store up now. Prepare ahead of time. Prepare. Keep sowing. Keep paying like you're making a payment, and then when we're ready to go get something, what do you take cash for that? Cash? Cash? I heard, you know, have y'all, anybody watched the Believers Conventions? I think yesterday was the last night. I heard Jesse give another testimony that he got invited to a church, to a pastor's church. And I can testify to this because I helped build a church in Mooresville. I was there for a season. Wayne helped build, because I was a carpenter at 4 or 5 years. I'm trying to stay in the camera. I'm not sure if I'm in the camera. Reed, you might have to let me know. But anyway, I think I am. I'm pretty big to get on that screen. But in Mooresville, we helped build that church. You know, you can build a church, but if it's not built on Christ, it's a sinking church. It's a sinking. Now, I'm not going to tell you the church. You don't need to know that. I just need to know that I was there willing to build, take my time, and build that church because there was a vision for that community. And Sherry's brother actually donated the land, gave the land. But we were waiting on a pastor that never came. And you're waiting, but you can make something happen. And it ain't gonna add up. That they're still used as a church, but it's not the church that split and came there. They're no longer there because they wouldn't let God be there. You've got to let God move in the people. But I got a scripture. I was excited. Mark 11:23 says, "Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive." And I took it to one of the deacons that I have befriended. Man, we were friends. We were. Iron sharpens iron. And I took him my iron. I said, look at here, man. Look at what this says. You believe this? I'm believing this. Whatsoever things I desire when I pray. Now, they got to be godly desires. And we took it to the deacon. He said, oh, that ain't what that means. I took one of them big gulps. Then I went. I did what every godly husband should do. Then I went to my wife and said, hey, honey, they don't believe this. It's what God said is true. So we prayed, and we had to leave that church. We helped build it. I didn't help finish build it. You know? I did my part. I did what I thought was right, and I do what I do for God, not for people. But we had to pray, and we had to leave. And I had to get somewhere where they believed the word. Amen. We believe the word here. It works. Amen. It works. If you'll work the word, it'll work. Now, I still pray for that church. It'll establish something. But, you know, God, I'm still rewarded what I did for God. I had a heart for the things of God, and God moved us on. So whatever you're doing, I'm saying, whatever you put your hand to for God, he sees that, and he will reward you openly. Man, he'll bless you openly in front of people, and people will be like, oh. But that's what Jesse did. He got in, this pastor is partners with Jesse, and he asked him, he said, I'm building a church, Jesse, and I was just wondering if you could find time in your schedule, would you come dedicate it when he gets ready? And Jesse said, yeah, because he just felt in his spirit to help this. Yeah, I'd be glad to do that. Well, Jesse didn't know 4 years later he'd get the call back, okay, I'm ready for you to dedicate my church. Well, Jesse didn't know the pastor actually built the church himself. Jesse thought he was in a building fund, you know, he was going to have the church built, but this guy actually built it with his hands and the congregation. So 4 years later, he calls Jesse, and Jesse said, yeah, next Sunday will be fine. Yeah, next Sunday will be fine. So Jesse flies down there, and when he gets up there or down there, and the guy's talking, and the Lord speaks to Jesse. If he's sitting on the front row, Wayne, the Lord might speak to you sitting on the front row now. You do what God says do. But Jesse said the Father spoke, and he said, yeah, Lord, what you need? He said, you need to pay off this church. Oh, wow, really? Yeah. Need to pay off the trade. Jesse didn't ask how much. That ain't what he didn't need to know. He just need to know what God said. You need to pay off the church, pay off the note. So when he got up there and then he heard that pastor talk about how they built a church, Jesse didn't know he did it with his hands. This guy worked in steel. That's what he did for a living. He worked full time, and it's just kind of witness to me. I've been out here, I'm working full time, still pastoring a church, raising a family. This is what this pastor was doing. Now, there's some people in here that built this church. I didn't build this church, but I have worked and built a church. But God's placed me here. Ain't that a blessing? And when Jesse heard that story, and he got up there and he was through his message, and he looked at the pastor and said, well, pastor said, the Lord spoke to me this morning and said, whatever you owe in this church, I'm here to pay it off. 4 years later, $100,000. See, well, when Jesse asked, when the Lord spoke to Jesse, and Jesse said, how much is that going to be, Lord? The Lord said, you got enough. He didn't tell him amount, because if you give you amount, man, you're going to start sweating. Kathy had the checkbook. Many times I sweat asking my wife, right? She writes the checkbook, but I bring the vision, and I'm like, oh. But Kathy was in agreement. $100,000, Wayne, paid it off, brought the people in tears. Tears. The sheriff was there. The attorney, the department of the attorney general was there, knew this pastor. He was a blessing to his community. They looked at each other like, we ain't never seen this. Their faces were like, did this really happen in front of us? Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. They seen it, but they couldn't believe it. Remember, Jesus, miracles would happen. People would be looking. They said they couldn't believe it. To Jesse, this is normal life, going around. What does God say do? 100,000. Now, he didn't start there, but that's where Jesse is now. Why? Because God told Abraham, I've blessed you, Reed, to be a blessing. See, God has blessed you to be a blessing. So you can, the blessing can flow right through you. So how big of a blessing you want to be? God don't have a problem with the numbers. I told you, I saw myself writing a $10,000 tithe check. My wife wrote 1,000 before, and that was a hurdle for us, right? We haven't written over 1,000, have we? Have we written over one, in other words, for the one place? See, I need to get an agreement. I need to see what she's doing back here. We hadn't written a 10,000 one yet, have we? Oh, she said no on that one. I knew I hadn't seen a 10,000 go out. So I do keep a check on my mobile banking. I just kind of check, I'll get some of these notifications. See, I'm seeing a notification, and she's not going to be like, no, she's going to be like, yes, because we're going to agree for a $10,000 seed to sow. Amen? What's the offering on the 10%? That means I got blessed with, what, 100 grand? What's the tithe on that, Leslie, 100 grand? So don't look at the 10. Look at, what are you tithing off of, 100 grand? Devil, he owes me 80 grand for burning my Durango. All right? This year, devil, in Jesus' name, loose it. See, I got angels going forth right now. I don't care. It ain't up to me to figure out how. It's up to me to believe. And the word says, when the thief comes, I got a sevenfold promise. Pay it back, devil, in Jesus' name. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Now, I forgave the person, the teenager that was hooked on drugs that set my son's Durango on fire. I forgave him. Because I love him. That's what I'm commanded to do. I love the person, but the devil has to pay. See, the devil's a big loser. I'm praying that he's bound off of that child's life so that child can get set free. Now, he's in jail. I didn't go to court, but he did. Because he's a thief. He was being possessed by the devil, and he had to pay. You don't want to let the devil take you in places, because you will pay. The devil, he's a spirit being. He's out. You in jail, the devil's out of jail. But you got stuck. See, that's deception. They ain't going to catch me. Hey, God's mercy was on my life. You got mercy out there, but there comes a place to where you got to turn to Jesus. Amen. Because God is not mocked. Thank God for his mercy, because I could have been in a lot of bad places, but God sustained me with his mercy. Amen. Amen. I got a lot of stories. We could all tell our stories. But there's one, Jesus. That's the greatest story ever told. Remember the movie? Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray in agreement. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this service. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for your mighty, mighty miracle working power. Lord, you are the way maker, and you have made a way for everybody in this church. And Father, right now, we thank you, Lord, for your mighty working power in this place. Lord, there's hearts in here, physical organs that have been touched, that were healed over 2,000 years ago on the cross. The blood that was shed for all mankind once. And Father, we just release our faith today, Lord, for healing in this body. Continual healing to Hank Farrell right now, Father God, for strengthening his body, bringing him and his family back to church. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, Lord, for dreams and revelations coming to your people. Open visions and dreams in the night that shows them the awesome power. Because some of them can't receive it in their natural mind because of the blinding of the devil, Lord. But you'll speak to our dreams. Speak to us in dreams in the night. Night visions, Lord. Because you love us that much. That you love us that deep that you'll speak to us while we're sleeping. And Father, let those dreams, let it be a turning place. For anybody hearing this message today, Lord, let them say yes to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come home. All you that are weary, come home. Come home to Jesus. Satan, we bind you right now off of anybody in this place, off of the minds of your people right now. I command you to leave, loose these minds right now that have been blinded by deception. Satan, I bind you right now. I command you off of the people's mind right now in the name of Jesus. I call you free in Jesus' name. Jesus said, be free. All ye that are weary, come home and be free. Freedom is your choice. The devil can't bind you and keep you down. I command you to loose them, devil, in Jesus' name. We command liberty, freedom to your people today in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak against blood disease right now in the name of Jesus. I call your blood normal in Jesus' name. Blood, you be normal in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Arthritis, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave these bodies right now. Bones, you be whole. Bones, you be strong in the name of Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today at Word of Faith Worship Center. I pray God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to Romans 10, 8 through 10, the word is nigh unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We would ask you today to simply say, yes, I believe this, and I say yes to Jesus. Now, if you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to get into a good church. Our church is located at 757 Harris Street, Northwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28025. And you can also find us on the internet at wordoffaithworshipcenter.org or wofwc.org. We hope to see you soon. Blessings.